it's an amazing thing when our heart is so hungry for God. It's unnatural, right? It's unnatural. And what we heard tonight from all these good testimonies, why I want Jesus. Folks, it's just a miracle. We've been talking about the miracle of being born again, right? Just from 1 Peter, just that transformation where God gets a hold of us. We live in a world that doesn't support that, as we heard, but the Holy Spirit is still alive and well and working, and thank God for that. I want to just ask you, if you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews 11. We discover a little bit of something about why, how God works, how we can grow in the Lord. It's Hebrews 11. I'm going to be using the NIV. I hope you don't mind. It's too late if you do. But I'm going to be reading from the NIV version of Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 23. We're going to hear something about Moses from this faith chapter. This is what we read there. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. I think the King James and New King James, that he was a beautiful child. Some of us would be out of luck. No, that's not right to say. But I like the version that says that he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Something, right? I'm going to talk a little bit about it. It's an amazing thing. What in the world transitioned this man, Moses? But I want to talk about growing up, too. You know, my mom raised 6 children in a small little bungalow. And to say the least, it got crazy. I have one brother and I have 4 sisters. That adds up to 6, right? And it was tight quarters. And my mother was a yeller. Did any of you have a parent that was a yeller? She loved us tremendously, but she was loud. She had to be. It was a lot of noise in the house, yeah. A lot of going-ons. And she, sometimes we would be, whether it would be fighting or I don't know, fussing, she would say, when are you going to grow up? Have you got that? When are you going to grow up? And that was her thing. And she would say it loud. I'll give you a sample. When are you going to grow up? And, we went from being 12 to being 15 to being 18. It didn't matter what age, she would say, when are you going to grow up? But when she was dying, when she was failing, she would say to me, Keith, don't get old. Then she'd say, don't get old. Don't go get old. So I try to keep pretty much immature. It pays off a little bit, don't it? Right? So interesting, though, in the Bible, Jesus said that we should be like little children. And yeah, we're to be like little children. We're to have that simpleness of just accepting anything that God sends down from heaven for us. Without question. But on the other end, we're to grow up and mature as well. Right? It goes both ways. And we see something that we read here in this portion of Hebrews about Moses. It says, when he had what? When he had aged, when he had grown up, something changed. And that's, as Christians, as born-again Christians, we need that. We need to get to move forward to a place where, you know, things are changing in me. I'm maturing. I'm growing up in the Lord. I want to bring out three aspects about growing up. Growing up is a time of discovery. You start sorting out what is true and what's false. You start having that realization of, well, that I've heard that, but that's not true. I've discovered that this is true, and what some of my friends have been saying and some others have been saying, that's false, right? And that discovery happens. Not everything that you've been told is true. I remember my Uncle Ed. He was a kind of a card. And one time when I was younger, I was crying to my mother because I had eaten an orange and I swallowed the seeds. And I was having a bit of a trauma over it because, I swallowed some of the seeds. I choked a little bit. And my uncle said, well, there you have it. There you have it. You know what he's going to, right? Every uncle on earth said, tree's going to grow in your stomach. That's what he's telling me. I was 21. I wasn't 21. I was young and I started believing, and then when I got older, I nicknamed my uncle Ed the Liar. Because trees don't, in case you have swallowed seeds, they don't grow in your stomach. That's thank God, that's good news. I grew up in church hearing that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And I thought it was Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I really did. Because I heard a Sunday school teacher said, no, not Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Palestine. And I was like, well, we don't worship foreign gods. I thought he was American. I wanted him to be American. And it was a big deal. Sorry for that. I apologize. But, you find out, you start coming into a realization of things that you start discovering of what's false and what's true, what's made up and what's real, what's fantasy, what's somebody's idea, and what's reality. That's part of growing up. How about this? Your perception of things change. You realize that not everything you told yourself is true. Not everything that you told yourself was believable. You find out that it's not necessarily so. And you have this desire of wanting to know what's true. Well, I like what it says about Moses here, because this transition, this growing up happened in him. It says he discovered this, that he was not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That must have been a real revelation for him. Now, maybe his mom hinted to him a lot, because she weaned him. I don't know. But still, his perception of these slaves, the Hebrew children, changed somewhere. Drastically. I mean, folks, it changed to where he sided with them, right? And then the third thing is this. He started to set his standards on truth of who he really was and was meant to be. I wanted to just quickly share some instructions that God talks about and from the same book, Hebrews, about growing up. He says in Hebrews 6:1, therefore let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. There's always that call to go forward, learn more about Christ, get in the Word. Thank God you're born again. Thank God you've given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God you understand that your sins are forgiven. Young people, don't stay there. There's so much more. Thank God you're learning the worship and the praise, but there's so much more. And it says in Hebrews 5, 2, 12, 14, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you in the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk. and not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. One last verse, Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. The apostle lets us know, says, look, a beginning experience is wonderful in the Lord, but we're to mature, we're to go forward, we're to grow. Let's ask ourselves, are we growing in the Lord? Are we gaining ground? Are we pressing on? It's a good question to ask yourself. Or are you happy where you are? Are you thankful for, you know, that of course you're thankful for what God has done, but do you have a desire to say, Lord, if there's more, heaven can wait. I'm going to find you here. And well, you need that desire. It's always troubling when someone's not growing up. When someone's not, you know what I mean. When they're not growing up. When they're 15, 16, 17, and they're still not learning the truth about life or discovering, you know, they're chasing fantasies. You know people like that, and you're like, boy, when are they going to grow up? Well, heaven feels that way about us. In our spiritual growth, you ought to realize something, that you're no longer a daughter or son of this world. I like it that Moses said, he no longer said, I'm a child of Pharaoh. Something happened, folks, for him to say that. I think a child of Pharaoh had great privileges for certain, but something happened that he said, I'm no longer a child of Pharaoh. His perception of the world changed, and our perception of the world ought to change. There ought to be something that we say, you know what, I don't think I can relate any longer with the world. But so many young Christians still do. So many young Christians, they just totally relate with this world. And the Word of God says in John that there ought to come something that we realize, you know, I don't trust this world anymore. I don't trust its ways or its influence. That's what happened with Moses. You begin to set your standards on the Bible. It says that he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When you start growing up, all of a sudden, you know what matters to you? Character. Character matters. It matters to how you act with your friends, what your friends know about you. That does matter. I remember when I was in high school, freshman, sophomore year, I had in my mind that I was God's secret agent, 007 Christian. You know, no one knew I was a Christian. Then I found out that God doesn't have secret agents. He has agents, right? But not secret agents. And I remember when my senior year came, I realized I was missing out because I was ashamed, and I can relate to what someone shared here. I was ashamed a little bit to let them know that I had a strong faith in Jesus Christ, and I did. And something happened that last year where I no longer wanted them to know or call me the son or of Pharaoh's daughter, of Pharaoh. I wanted to know, let them know that I was a Christian, and it makes a difference. In 1 John, what I already referred to, he said, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We need to ask ourselves, how involved am I in this with this world? How involved am I? How much do I love this world? And I hope the answer that you say is, God is weaning me off this world. God is pulling me and getting me a greater focus of heaven. In 25 it said that he chose. Now just take a look at this. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Something happened here. He says in 26, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasure of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. There, something happened in him. What is it? I think we find the answers in Romans 8:15. This is what the apostle writes. He said, for we have received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifying with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are the children, then we are heirs. I looked at that and I said, that's what happened. And that's what ought to happen in our lives. Has that happened in your life to where his spirit witnessed with our spirit, I'm a child of God now? And that changes everything. If that's what, you know, you can't just make up your mind that I'm going to be a Christian, this is how I'm going to live. Some Christians do that, and you know they do well for a while. And I remember when I did that as a teen, one pastor said, we're going out to Asbury Park, which is the boardwalk, and we're going to hand out tracts. It took a lot to do that. And I said, I'm gonna do that. And there we were. Pretty bold thing. It felt good for a while. Nobody wanted a track. Go figure. But you know, what happened was I realized, okay, I did this, Lord, but my heart's not changed. You know, I'm still the same. Something else had to happen. The Spirit of God had to descend and witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. We all need that experience. Choices today are decisions must not only be based on what is good or evil, but what is good and what's better. That's growing in the Lord. And truth is always costly. I heard an illustration that I think fits so well about growing in the Lord. It was a young man who had that experience that is mentioned in Romans 8, where the Lord's Spirit witnessed with his spirit that he truly was a child of God. But he also knew that he had worldly friends, that he was being influenced, and he felt that being pulled away from the Lord, and he struggled with that. And so one day he decided he was going to do something, almost like what I felt like with going out and handing out tracts. But it was different with him because he knew he had something real in his heart. And so he got a piece of cardboard and he got a stick, and he nailed a sign on that stick, and he wrote Jesus Saves on it. And he decided to go to walk the streets of Manhattan. How many of you would like to do that? Right? Not an easy thing to do. Right? Not an easy thing to do. And so that's what he did. And while he was walking the streets with Jesus Saves, maybe you've seen some people like that, a good pastor wanted to talk some sense to him. And the pastor said to him, son, can I speak with you? And he said, sure. He said, son, what you're doing is fabulous. But let me ask you something. Do you really think you're ever going to change anyone's heart by carrying that sign? And The boy said this, he said, "I sure hope so. But I know one thing. Carrying this sign is keeping them from changing my heart." You know, sometimes like Moses, you got to take that stand. Sometimes when God has witnessed with your heart that you are a child of God, you've got to let someone know it. You've got to tell them. Maybe it's a close friend where you have to say, "Look, I belong to the King now." And you're not just saying it to make the pastor happy or the Sunday school teacher happy or your parents happy. It's because there's become a real transition, as what happened with Moses. And you're saying, "You know, I don't care if you don't want to be my friend anymore. I don't care if you guys forsake me. I don't care if I'm become alone. I am not going to compromise everything that God's done in my heart." I had a good friend I grew up with, and that senior year, around that senior year, I knew because of what God had done in my heart, I knew I had to talk to him. So we went to a great place called the Ground Round. Ever hear of it?
Yeah.
See, look at all these religious people with their hamburgers. It was a great place. I said, "Frank, let's meet at the Ground Round. Best hamburgers on earth." And he met with me. I mean, we were tight friends. And I said to him, I said, "Frank, I don't know how to tell you this, but I need to break this relationship. You've been a good friend, but you've been influencing me more than I should be influencing you." You know what he said to me? He said, "I know you're right. I know you're right." And on that day, it was a little bit tough. But we split up. But many years later, Frank got himself in trouble. I won't tell you what it was. But he sent me a letter saying, "Keith, can you help me?" You know, it was that separation that made way for me to be able to be a help to him in his life. If I had stayed with it, I never would have been able to pull him out of the pit that he had fallen into. God knows what he's doing. I pray for all of us that we'll go forward in the Lord and that we'll mature in the Lord Jesus. And I thought before we close tonight, that we just say, we secure that connection. I mean, I know you have, but an even greater way, a maturer way in the Lord. And say, "God, I'm all yours."
Yes.
It's not an experience. It's not a passing phase. Lord God, I'm going to grow in you. I'm going to mature in you. Could we stand together, please? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, dear God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. I don't know if you know this chorus, but it made such a difference in my heart when the Lord began to just give me a song like this. If you know it, then you can help me sing it, okay? "Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Every step that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me." Let's sing again. "Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have..." us, Lord, through dear Jesus. Have your way, Lord. We give you our hearts, Lord. We give you our souls, Lord Jesus. Thank you, dear Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God. Wonderful Jesus. Thank you, dear God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, we give you. Lord, take us as we are and make us what we ought to be. Help us to go forward in you, to grow in you, Lord God. We trust you, Lord Jesus, for, again, for every one of these young people, Lord, who have labored here so faithfully and given of themselves, and you have been faithful. You've met them. You've drawn them unto yourself. But we want to ask God that even as they leave this place where you've set your presence, that, Lord Jesus, still know that the presence of Christ is set forth now in a greater way in their hearts. Amen. And that they'll going. Your design is that they grow and mature in you, Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for doing that. Amen. We thank you, Lord God, for all that have, those that have just come, all that have been here. We all want to go grow forward in you, Lord Jesus, and grow up in Christ in a greater way. We pray, God, that, Lord, you'll continue that work in us.
Amen.
And we just trust you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're always welcome, as you know, to wait on the Lord. You want to wait on the Lord and just let his presence continue to work in you. If you're weary and it's time to go, then God bless you. Please be quiet around here where people are waiting on the Lord. God bless you. Thank you.